Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
It would help if I opened my microphone up, wouldn't it? Oh, man, I feel like a dummy. Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's a Wednesday, which means the first hour we're going to be joined by Dr. Jeff Galini for Science for Humans. We're going to be talking about the much maligned carbohydrate. Then we're going to change it up. We're going to be joined by an NYU researcher who's talking about screening for type 2 diabetes during dental visits, which makes a lot of sense, quite frankly, if you ask me. And then during the top of, at the top of the second hour, we're going to be joined by a gentleman to talk to us about an ancient grain. You know, a lot of the discussions today about how harmful grains are for you have occurred within the past 100 years. And something has changed with grains. We're going to talk about an ancient grain that has been left relatively the same as it's been over 5,000 years ago, and that's spelt, so you're not going to want to miss that discussion. Well, where's my cue, my music? You know, I have to play that again. I'm sorry. I am just a bundle of errors today,
this
Dr. Galini.
This is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
I tell you the truth, we have had nothing but a technological thunderstorm here for the past couple days. We had our servers moved to a new data center, which just one problem after another, and we're just finally getting back on our feet. And I now I'm creating my own problems, Dr. Jeff. So
that's all right. You know, you messed up my music a little bit, but no worries, Carl.
Anyway, you know, carbohydrates get a really, really bad rap today. You know, I actually had a guy send me a really nice email last week. Using a low carb, high fat, LCHF, you know, I hear that you're part of the LCHF movement, he said. I am too. And I'm not low carb. I am about carbohydrates, but I think there's a lot that you have to understand about carbohydrates. Carbohydrates today is like copier machines were, around the 80s and 90s after Xerox. Everybody called a copy a Xerox. Go Xerox this. And it wasn't a Xerox machine they were even using. Carbohydrates get lumped into one grand category. And I kind of feel like that's a mistake. So first of all, what are carbohydrates? Let's start there for somebody who really doesn't have a clue.
So we're going to start kind of with the scientific definition, and then we'll kind of move into more of the generic definition. But by science, a carbohydrate is any neutral compound that's made up of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen as sugar, starches, and cellulose.
But sugars, starches, and cellulose are handled. Isn't it interesting? Those three things are handled completely differently by the body, right?
They are. I mean, they are a completely different makeup, and they are absorbed, and they act differently in the body. So those are really our three categories are sugars, starches, and fiber. We can call cellulose fiber. And that is what the FDA considers carbohydrates, and that is what everything falls into. So as you said, this is where carbohydrates have kind of got this bum rap, because everything has been lumped into a carb where – again, you've got to break those out and look at each of the categories. You know, what do they do to the bodies? Where are they from? And again, talk about quantities. You know, how important is that?
Okay, so where do carbohydrates come from? And what are the different categories that they arise from? I mean, in other words, sugars we know come from generally naturally occurring in fruits, but they also are refined and added to foods, right?
Correct. And I would probably say that the majority of the sugar, especially in the United States, that we consume is not from fruits. It comes from sodas, drinks, processed foods, just an astronomical amount of sugar we consume in a year.
So sugars, are they bad, completely bad, or is there a place for them in our diet?
Oh, absolutely. There is a place. You know, I like fruit sugars, or I'm a honey person. You know, I just love the local honey here. But sugars are important because that's a quick source of energy. You know, it's absorbed very quickly. Within 15 minutes, it is in the bloodstream ready to burn for fuel. So if you're looking for a quick surge of energy, you get those from sugars. Again, you know, it's better to use fruits and honey versus, you know, refined sugars and candy bars and things of that nature.
So it sounds to me like when we talk about sugar versus some of the other carbohydrate sources, we start to get into something that I'd like to call task specificity. So in other words, if your goal was, if today was a day where you weren't going to be very active, sugars may not be a good choice to consume much of. But if you are going to be very active, sugars have a place, for instance, pre-workout, post-workout, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we know that we can burn up, 50 grams, 100 grams if you're going to go exercise. But you're absolutely right. You know, for the average person who doesn't exercise, sugars, we have to be careful. And even athletes on non-exercise days, we need to watch out on how much sugars we intake.
So this is a question as an aside, but do you think it's a mistake to go low carb on your days off? So in other words, if you're training right now, 2 days on, 1 day off, should you continue to eat the way you eat on your day off to maximize the anabolic response of training, or should you back off on the faster carbs, the sugars, so that you don't acquire more body fat?
You know, if you are a skilled athlete, then no. You know, if you're a high-end athlete, because those are the days that you recuperate and you need to replenish your glycogen stores. If you are a weekend warrior or just someone trying to look good or stay in shape, yeah, I think that's a pretty good principle. You know, again, it takes several days for this whole deprivation to take place. So by lowering your carbohydrate or your sugar intake on those days off. And again, we're not saying take none. We're just saying elevating on the days that you work out and then taking a normal amount on your rest days, I think is good practice for longevity, you know, keeping your body fat and your weight down.
Do you think that the traditional bodybuilder falls into a unique category? Because as a rule, they don't do a lot of cardio because they believe it's going to suppress muscle gains. And they train, if they're training like Lee Haney, to stimulate, not annihilate. So they're staying maybe in the gym an hour tops. And the type of work that they're doing may not be as glycogen dependent as, let's say, long distance cycling or running or rowing or something like that. And then they consume large amounts of rapid absorbing carbohydrates post-workout with the assumption of restoring glycogen. But how much glycogen really needs to be restored after that type of a workout throughout that type of a day?
You know, that's really going to depend on individual to individual. And I think, you know, from the bodybuilding standpoint, you know, that is the extreme sport. It's the only sport that we bodybuilders are judged by their appearance, not their performance. So if you're looking to be a bodybuilder, you know, some people can absorb more carbohydrates. Some people like to do cardio. The other think that cardio burns muscle. Therefore, you know, they're going to take in less carbohydrates or less sugars. So I think it just depends on what school you're from. I know from my past.
And I was going to ask you, because you were a very successful competitive bodybuilder, but you were also a competitive power lifter. Where did you fall into that category?
You know, I tried both, and it wasn't anything that was taught. You know, at first, I ate a lot of everything. You know, went to the buffet, didn't matter if it was fried, you know, you name it. And then as I learned that I needed to eat more quality food, protein was important. And then I got to limiting my carbohydrates. But what I found was I actually lowered my metabolism, and I didn't have the strength. So when I actually increased those carbohydrates back, I found that it was better to expend more calories, do some type of cardio daily, and I was able to maintain more mass, eat more calories on a diet. So I'm a firm believer that carbohydrates are very, very important for bodybuilders and for dieting. Again, you know, it just depends on your body, your activity level, how quickly you can drop body fat.
Now, this is an interesting point that you make here. So people who go on low carbohydrate diets for long periods of time, they see a downregulation in thyroid hormone production. They see a downregulation in basal metabolic rate. The body becomes conservative. It becomes economically concerned about its future. So it starts to conserve energy. And they don't see the type of results they want to see if they are very, very active individuals. Why is it that carbohydrates seem to signal the metabolism more so than fats or proteins?
Well, first of all, you know, low-carb diets only work for a short period of time. That's why most of these people who get on low-carb or no-carb for long periods of time go off, because you'll actually quit losing weight based on what you said. But what happens is, again, you know, carbohydrates is your fuel. That's what your body burns for fuel. It's quickly absorbed. It's readily available. If you don't take in any carbohydrates, your body then has to go to its next sources of fuel. And believe it or not, your body would actually rather burn muscle before fat. It isn't until those BCAAs start to drop into the bloodstream that your body says, uh-oh, wait a minute, I'm now burning muscle, let me now convert to fat. But that could be a week or two. That's why you see so many wrestlers and inexperienced bodybuilders or powerlifters who are trying to drop weight. They lower their carbohydrates and they lose so much muscle because they've actually burnt that muscle for fuel.
Okay, so what is considered low carb? Where are the thresholds? And I know there's a lots of schools here of thought, but what do you consider low carb? And what do you consider sensible carb intake?
I think you got to look more from a percentage of your calories. I think, you know, again, carbohydrates need to be in that 55% range. You know, your protein being in the 25 to 35 and the rest being fat. Again, I'm kind of a believer in a more controlled fat diet and a quality carbohydrate and a quality protein. So, you know, you just do the math depending on what your intake is. It's really hard to tell somebody to only take in X amount of grams of carbs because you have no idea of their activity level or what their caloric intake is.
Interesting. Because a lot of people go, you've got to eat below 60 grams of carbs a day in order to see the magic in a low carb diet. That's really low to me. Do you think if an athlete or an athletic individual who is 230 pounds starts to eat below a threshold of 55% carbohydrates, maybe, I mean, really, they're eating maybe only 15-20% of their caloric intake from carbohydrates. Do you think that there is any danger to them?
Yeah, they're going to run out of energy. They're going to have trouble building muscle. They're going to have no endurance and stamina. You know, without carbohydrates, those are fuel for the brain. You know, you don't concentrate. Again, you know, thinking back of the bodybuilding days when really we didn't go low carbs until 3 days or 4 days out, where we went zero carbs. And it was almost impossible to function. I mean, it was really difficult to remember things. So again, an athlete without carbohydrates isn't going to perform as well as an athlete with. And there have been numerous studies done, you know, on both ends of the spectrum. But again, you know, think about not putting any gas in your car. How long are you going to go? You're going to run out. Carbohydrates is your gas. It's your fuel.
Here's what I want to do. I want to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk about good carbohydrate sources and carbohydrate timing for those in the audience, which are more athletic types. We're talking right now with Dr. Jeff Galini. This is Science for Humans, brought to you here on Supreme Radio Network by All American Pharmaceutical. And don't forget their product line, All American EFX Sports. We're going to be actually talking about one of their products when we come back. And I've got some really interesting feedback to give. Dan Matha has been using Carbolin in his training, and he told me an interesting story yesterday at the gym. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you want freakish money? muscle gains, Freak Maker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Protolan, Whey Isolate, Whey Concentrate, Milk Isolate, Casein and Egg, quality protein sources with Carbolin, Prealkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freak Maker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing Carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Prealkaline pH buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LiveOnLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LiveOnLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel, clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception, because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel, but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LiveOnLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LiveOnLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini. So, ideal carbohydrate sources for pre, intra, and post-workout. This is something that's very, very new. In the past, I'd say 6 years, lots of novel forms of carbohydrate have come out that are not sugars, but seem to get into the bloodstream very quickly. Can you explain, first of all, how they do this?
Well, the only novel form is actually carbolin that's clinically proven to be absorbed as quickly as a sugar, but being sugar-free. I think most of the ones that I have seen that have claimed are just marketing research. Vitargo also has some research that their product is absorbed relatively quickly, but the studies were done in Sweden. They were done quite a few years ago. I don't believe there were like IRB numbers and things. But other than that, there is no other carbohydrate novel, you know, supplement type product that is absorbed that quickly.
So how does it do this? What makes it get into the bloodstream so quickly, but yet it's not a sugar?
Well, you know, the neat thing is I'm a carbohydrate freak. I love carbs. I like meat too, but I love carbs. So when I was training more seriously, I was trying to find a better way to get carbohydrates into my system, either for carb loading or for pre-workout, instead of, you know, using simple sugars and things. But the interesting thing about carbolin is that it's made up of many monosaccharides that are joined together. And because of the molecular structure of this particular compound, we can actually get it to dump into the stomach, meaning that it completely bypasses the stomach. Very interesting. I've received a grant from the Montana Research and Commercialization Grant Board recently, and we just finished a nice double-blind IRB-certified study on carbolin. And we tested it against glucose. We had done this before, but this was a much higher-end, more controlled study. And again, by the 15-minute blood draw, we had already spiked glucose levels, which means, you know, our product was absorbed probably somewhere around the 7 to 8 minute, which was as quick or quicker than sugar. So again, it comes down to the molecular structure, getting it to dump through the stomach. Pretty cool phenomena.
So it actually goes through the lining of the stomach, you're saying, into the wall of the stomach and into the bloodstream. Boom, it's there.
It's there, ready to burn.
So does this have, does molecular weight have a role in this phenomenon?
It does. Molecular structure, molecular weight are all kind of in time together. And because it's a starch component, it needs to be a higher molecular weight, but it needs to be the right amount of monosaccharides and the right form. So there's a lot that kind of goes in for this phenomena to happen, which is why carbolin has a patent pending. No one has anything like it or has done anything like it.
Now, you use a variety of different sources to produce carbolin, right? It's not just one thing that you make it from, right?
Correct. I mean, you can make starch from almost anything that is, you know, a grain of some type. In the early years, I was looking for the things that would work the best, that would be absorbed as quickly, and I could get it to taste good and accomplished everything. So carbolin is from potato, rice, and corn. It was a combination of those three things that I found were the best sources to accomplish what we now call carbolin.
And I would I have to imagine the reason that you're using these three sources, because it probably would be a lot cheaper for you to use one source, but the reason you're using these three sources is because each of them brings to the party something unique that makes carbolin what it is, right?
Correct. Each of them has a different molecular structure. So remember also in this study, not only did we show how quickly carbolin was absorbed, but we saw
sustained,
that
right?
At about 35 minutes, we were peaking. Now, these people are on a treadmill, and we're taking blood every 15 minutes, and we were in the system for about 75 minutes. So again, these different sources are what give us that long duration, you know, where sugar spikes and then, boom, it drops.
So Dan Matha, I had you send him a sample of carbolin. He is with the OVW now, and he's actually had a meeting with the WWE, and I predict that we're going to hear his name in the future because he's going to be one of their rising stars. And so he's 275 pounds. He took 50-gram scoop of carbolin before training one day, and his training generally lasts 3 to 5 hours, depending on what they're doing. And that's after he goes to the gym in the morning. So he trains in the morning for 2 hours, then he goes to the wrestling camp and he trains for another 3 to 5 hours. And generally, he said, around the third hour, he's pretty much gassing out. It's so much work that they have to do, and it's so physical. And plus, they're banging their bodies around. So it's high impact physical. It's not just physical. And so he told me that after that scoop of carbolin, where he normally starts to feel a little dreary, he thought he was training for less time than he was. When he looked at his watch and realized that he had already been training for 3 hours, he couldn't believe it. He came in the next day and he said to me, "That stuff is amazing."
Mm-hmm. Well, the number one reason why athletes, no matter what your sport, hit that wall is you have depleted glycogen. So the quicker you can replenish that, the more that you can do, the quicker you recover and recuperate. I mean, it's probably one of the most important things that we take, which is why, you know, I feel that you need more carbohydrates than you do protein.
Well, and so now I'm going to shed another insight of my own. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of training fasted, but one of the things that I've learned about training fasted is you've got a certain amount of time that you can train for. And once you try to go beyond that window of time, blood sugar starts to drop very, very quickly. And blood sugar dropping precipitates itself in the brain before it precipitates itself in the body. So I was training fasted for a very, very long time, and I was training fasted recently, and I had to train legs, and I was squatting, and I had already done a bunch of heavy movements already. And after I got finished squatting, I became lightheaded after every single set. I had to literally hang on to things. My heart was pumping fine. It wasn't, my heart was pumping fine. Everything was fine. But I was getting that phenomenon that they call in the medical industry syncope. I was starting to like white out a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I took some Carbaline that was supposed to be post-workout. I ended up drinking it then, and I waited 10 minutes and I went back in and I finished my squats, and I did not get that feeling like I was going to pass out after the set. And that's when it dawned on me. We've talked about studies on this show that fatigue is mediated by the brain. When the brain says, I'm not getting what I need, I don't care about the body, I'm shutting the body down because I'm not getting what I need. And I say that the presence of carbaline in the bloodstream and the elevated glucose in the bloodstream tells the brain you can go on, and the brain says to the body, go ahead and play, just leave me alone. But when blood sugar starts to dip and the brain goes, oh wow, I'm having moments here where, you know, I'm not getting what I need, I'm not letting the body go on anymore because I have to protect myself. So it's not just about carbaline fueling the muscle. It's about carbaline telling the brain, everything's okay, let us keep playing.
Absolutely, and that's what a lot of people forget, is that is the first thing that happens on any low carb, is your brain will start to shut down, telling your body, hey, reserve energy, sit down, stop, I'm not getting what I need.
Yeah, it's really amazing. It's a great product, I got to tell you. And I'll tell you something else. I mix it with a peanut butter protein powder post-workout, and it tastes just like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich drink. It's so good. I love carbaline. I have never been a fan of post-workout high-sugar drinks, and I used to use dextrose back in the day when that was all the rage, mm-hmm. right? Dextrose and that stuff would literally make me feel washed out and nauseous about an hour after I drank it.
Yeah, carbaline is cost effective. It's quicker. You know, I mean, you can go ahead and have a whole grain pasta, but eat it the night before, and then you have no way of controlling. Why don't we give everybody an opportunity to get a free sample if they'd like?
How's that? How can they do that?
Well, I guess they would email the show at what address?
onair@superhumanradio.com. And what will they get, Dr. Jeff?
You know, I'm going to send you a couple workouts or a couple days supply, and it'll be absolutely free. You know, carbaline is one of those things that, don't take my word for it or Carl's, you got to try it.
So here's what you need to do. Send an email to onair@superhumanradio.com. Put the word carbaline, K-A-R-B-O-L-Y-N, in the subject line. Make sure you include your mailing address. Dr. Jeff, what if these are international requests?
You know, no problem. We'll ship them overseas to them.
And you will receive a few samples of carbaline, so you can try it as a pre-workout, post-workout, even intra-workout drink yourself and find out for yourself. I think that's very, very generous. Thank you so much, Dr. Jeff.
You're welcome.
All right, so there you have it. Carbohydrates, friend, not foe. And we will see you next week on Science for Humans, right?
We sure will. Have a good one.
Thanks, Dr. Jeff. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about a new procedure that may allow dentists to check their patients for type 2 diabetes while they're in the chair. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
muscle gains, Freak Maker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Frotalin, Whey Isolate, Whey Concentrate, Milk Isolate, Casein and Egg, quality protein sources with Carbolin, Prealkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freak Maker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing Carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Prealkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad. For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana banner ad today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Okay. Welcome back. You know, while there's an ever-growing number of people diagnosed with type 2 diabetes in this country, there's even a larger group, potentially, that silently has type 2 diabetes and just doesn't know. We've talked about the skinny fat phenomenon. We've talked about diabetic sarcopenia leading to elevated blood glucose levels in individuals who still fit into their size 36 pants or 32 pants, or women who fit into a size 3 dress. And these individuals are at the greatest risk because they're going around with metabolic disorders without realizing it, especially because many of them don't see the doctor because they think they're relatively healthy. Well, an NYU researcher has probably found the answer to that, and it's Dr. Sheila Strauss. How are you doing, Dr. Strauss?
I am just great. Thank you so much for having me.
My
and
pleasure.
For your interest in our work.
And anything that has to do with helping to reverse this epidemic of type 2 diabetes in this country, I'm all for, because we're all sharing the burden of this problem, whether we are suffering from the disease or not. So talk about your research, first of all.
I'm happy to do that. We became aware a number of years ago of research that connected gum disease and diabetes. That is, people who have gum disease, periodontal disease, tend to have diabetes, and people with diabetes tend to have gum disease. And we also know that people who have periodontal or gum disease have gums that bleed. Many people have gums that bleed. It's something called gingivitis. When people go to the dentist for their yearly cleaning, sometimes their gums bleed, or sometimes they bleed when they brush or floss
right.
their teeth. But people who have gum disease, their gums really bleed much more. And it occurred to us that perhaps we could somehow channel that blood that's already there and use that to test for diabetes, given the connection between the two. So we began with a handheld glucose meter, which is what people with diabetes use to monitor their blood glucose. And we attempted to collect blood from the gum that was already there in people with gum disease. And that was promising because we found that the numbers that we got for glucose values were pretty much the same if we took blood from the finger or blood from the gum. But there was a problem with that because we know that glucose looked at that way is very much a product in terms of its value
right.
of what and when a person last ate.
Exactly, because that blood sample could be postprandial. It could be after a meal. This person could have eaten right before getting into the chair, and their blood sugar could be 140 milligrams when really their fasting blood sugar is something totally different.
That's absolutely right. And a lot of people, in fact, eat before they go to the dentist because they're afraid they may be numb for a while. So, you know, getting a value at that point is often not a very accurate gauge of their glucose. But fortunately, the American Diabetes Association a few years ago said that it was fine to test for diabetes using a test called the hemoglobin A1C test.
Right.
And what that does is it gives a measure of blood glucose on average over the past 3 months. So that's not affected really by what a person just ate. And that's a much better measure of the person's glucose than is that point of care
and probably more meaningful. So if somebody could have rare spike of blood sugar here or there, again, because of the meal, especially if they had a high sugar meal or something that rapidly clears the stomach and hits the bloodstream quickly before getting into the dental chair, the numbers could be skewed. But the A1C says, oh, no, this is a pattern. Over the past 3 months, this person has had these episodes often or not at all.
Absolutely. And so that was the test that we knew we wanted to use. So in the research that we are just concluding now, what we did was we recruited people at the New York University College of Dentistry who were waiting for their dental visits and whose gums bled and who were at risk for diabetes according to the American Diabetes Association criteria. And we took, with their consent, a sample of blood from their finger and a sample of blood from their gums. And we gave them separate identification numbers so that the laboratory in analyzing this wouldn't be biased. And we took a look at how well the oral blood hemoglobin A1C test did compared to the finger stick. And to our great pleasure, we found that the numbers were almost identical. So what this means is that people can ultimately, we hope, go to the dentist. If they go to a dentist who is supportive of this activity and supportive of patients' overall health, the dentist can just take an oral blood sample, because the dentist working in the mouth anyway, and have that sample sent to a laboratory, and a patient can be screened for diabetes.
Well,
so we're very excited about this.
Well, I'm even more excited because there are very, very good in-home A1C testers now that compared to the ease of use of a glucometer. So the reality is what I see happening, because look, dentists are screening for things now. Just like optometrists are screening for things when they look into the eye, right? They're looking for blood pressure. They can see examples that could indicate things like high blood sugar levels. When the dentist checks me and does my cleaning, he palpates my thyroid now. He's like, oh,
right.
Your thyroid feels good. So this is one more thing. So he goes and takes a test strip. He sticks it in the blood around the tooth or wherever he gets it from and puts it in the A1C tester, lays it down on the table, and then says to the patient moments later, wow, your A1C is above 6. You know, you really should see your physician about this. You may be pre-diabetic. So it's going to even be easier now with these in-home A1C testers.
Well, I wish I could agree with that. Unfortunately, I can't.
Tell me why.
As part of our research, we used one of those A1C test kits on the first group of people who were participating in the research. First of all, we found that in only a certain percentage of people were we able to collect sufficient blood in order to use that test. We need much less blood for this laboratory method than people need for this over-the-counter A1C test. That's the first problem. Secondly, there's a lot of mixing that has to get done with these portable tests. And when, in the end, we compared those test results with the laboratory results, we found that there were many false positives. So there are a lot of people who would think that they had elevated hemoglobin A1C levels when, in fact, they didn't. And this, you know, it depends on how one looks at it. Perhaps it's better that way than the other way with the false negatives.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
I
see why.
But nonetheless, it could really cause quite a bit of alarm, unnecessary alarm. So, you know, while this is terrific and we think that this has the potential to make a real advance in identifying people who have undiagnosed diabetes, we really think a laboratory needs to be involved.
And I can see other reasons why the lab needs to be involved. The physician, when he palpates my thyroid, he then tells me to go to see my doctor. And in this case here, there's an area of liability on the dentist saying, hey, no, you know, your A1C is fine. And then the person finds out that they were told bad information. So the lab should be in the middle. I do agree in this position here.
Right.
There's too much There's too much that can go wrong.
Yeah, it's a really important issue. And if one is doing a test of this sort, we want to make sure that we're not needlessly alarming people, but on the other hand, that we're accurately identifying people and not giving them a false sense of security that they're fine. So we need something that's really super accurate, and we need something that is really dentist and patient friendly.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't take a great deal of time in the dentist's office, and also that these liability issues are not really issues.
Very, very good point. Let's do this. Let's take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Dr. Strauss on the other side. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We shall return.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen. Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Do you have a federal student loan? Did you know that the federal government has allotted millions of dollars to reduce or forgive your student loan debt? Are you getting your share of these federal forgiveness program dollars? If you answer no, then you need to call 866-539-2755 right now. FedAidAdvisors.com will qualify you right over the phone for free. One free phone call and FedAidAdvisors.com guarantees to reduce your payments, eliminate interest for the first 3 years, and even wipe your loan debt clean for those who qualify. The call is free to find out if you qualify. Call 866-539-2755. 539-2755 right now. That's 866-539-2755.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking to NYU researcher Dr. Sheila Strauss about screening people while they're in the dentist chair for potential diabetes risk. I think this is really, really, really a great idea. There are so many people. I have friends who have not been to the doctors for years. And A lot of times they'll call me up and they'll tell me about these things that are bothering them all of a sudden. I say, well, have you ever checked your blood sugar? No, I don't have diabetes. I'm fine. You know, I'm 168 pounds. And I say, you know, just because you occupy a certain space, have a certain body form, or the scale tells you a number, doesn't mean that you don't have the risk of insulin resistance. And a lot of people, and these are the people, quite frankly, that are the ones that just drop over one day, and we find out, oh my God, you know, they've had this this problem all these years. No one realized it because they are the ones that don't look, quote unquote, like diabetics, but yet they have insulin resistance. And this would, I predict this would save a lot of lives, Dr. Strauss.
Well, thank you for your kind words. We certainly agree with that. And what you bring up in terms of insulin resistance reminds me to speak about not just screening for diabetes, but screening for what people have called pre-diabetes. That is, people who have hemoglobin A1C values that are higher than considered the normal range, but not quite high enough to be in the diabetes range.
Right.
And what's really exciting about identifying people at the point at which they have prediabetes is that some research has found that if people change their lifestyles just a little bit, if they exercise just a little bit more, if they lose not a huge amount of weight, but a little bit of weight, they can actually reverse the progression from pre-diabetes to diabetes, which is so typical.
Right.
If a person has pre-diabetes, there is a huge risk for that ultimately developing into diabetes. But people actually have the power to reverse that course. And wouldn't that be wonderful if we could identify people at a point at which they could reverse something that will affect their lives in a really important way going forward.
Well, also, so, we did a show many years ago from a researcher, and I don't remember where this researcher was from, who showed that individuals who are pre-diabetic are suffering the same physiologically damaging effects as the person who has full-blown diabetes, just at a slower rate. So this notion that, well, I'm pre-diabetic, I'm safe, it's kind of like saying, you know, I'm using a dull knife, so I'm not, the cut is not as deep, but I'm still cutting myself. And if I just keep on sawing away, I'll end up at the depth of a flesh wound had I used a sharp knife. Yes, that's true.
Right.
So getting these people when they're still able to turn back from the precipice of diabetes is great. But more importantly, getting them to understand that they're doing damage at that subclinical point, and they need to make a change.
Absolutely. And there's yet another use for our concept about this hemoglobin A1C testing, and that's for people who have already been diagnosed with diabetes. You know, in order to minimize the complications from diabetes, one really needs to keep that hemoglobin A1C level as low as possible. And there are many people with diabetes who do not consistently follow up with their physicians. So if there is an opportunity to gauge that hemoglobin A1C level for a patient with diabetes who's at the dentist's office and is able to test for it, perhaps that patient hasn't been tested in a long time, or if the value was out of range the last time she or he visited a primary care provider, that would also be very helpful.
Well, and you've opened up an interesting area of possibility, quite frankly. So when we look at blood testing in general, you know, you've got to go into a phlebotomy lab, they've got to draw blood, they've got to handle blood, they've got to ship it off to different places, those places have to do their magic and then report back. We have an amazing opportunity here with the blood captured during the dental visit to screen for other things. Like when you were talking just now, I thought, okay, we have women out there that are on contraceptives that we know increase thrombotic index. We could do hematocrit. We could do D-dimer because we want to find out if somebody has the potential for blood. I see a vast opportunity here that is happening casually, where we don't have to go into a lab and draw blood and all that overhead and all that expense and all that to capture this blood and run a variety of tests on it.
Well, that certainly is a possibility. The reason why we're focused on diabetes is because of this relationship between gum disease and diabetes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also the fact that we did an analysis a number of years ago using data that are publicly available. It was called the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey. And we did an analysis of the data, and we discovered that there are millions of people in this country who see a dentist in a given year but don't see a primary care provider. And for those people, this is a point of contact
uh-huh.
with the healthcare system that they would otherwise not have in terms of testing for diabetes. Now, that doesn't even count people who use the emergency room, for example, as their primary care provider, or who only see their primary care provider when they have an acute illness like bronchitis. The physician may at that point not test for glucose at all.
Right.
So, you know, here is an opportunity with at-risk people to try at least to help people understand what their hemoglobin A1C level is so that they have the ability, if they so desire, to make changes in their lives that can only help them in terms of prolonging their lives and also cutting down on the side effects that can occur with diabetes.
So what are the next steps to actually turn this into an action that happens at the dentist office?
That is, they say, is the $64,000 question. So, you know, if we could just snap our fingers and do it, I would love it, because I am a public health researcher, and I feel like, as you so kindly indicated before, this really has the potential, in my view, to certainly help people in terms of their health, but perhaps even save people's lives. I don't mean to be so melodramatic, but I really do believe in this. So I think that what needs to happen is exactly what you are helping us to do, and that is getting the word out to the public, to your listeners, so that they can begin to think about this and raise this with their healthcare providers. Let them know that they think this is a really great idea. Get a little bit of a groundswell going. I think we need to continue doing research to understand what people do with these results. If they just ignore them, which is certainly a possibility, we're not really helping them very much. So we want to make sure that we're doing something that really supports people. I guess what I'm saying is that this was a very important first step in this line of research and in getting it out there to dental providers throughout our country, certainly. We're not there yet. The number one step was to ask and answer the question, can a dentist collect blood and get a hemoglobin A1C value that is accurate? And that's what this research showed. So what we need to move forward is really quite a bit of spreading the word out there, and thank you for helping us do that.
Yeah.
And also we'll need to work with insurance companies to see how this would be covered.
The ADA, the American Dental Association, I see them spearheading this.
Yes, I think that would be a really important group to work with. I think we need to speak with policymakers in health, in general, and in insurance companies so that we have a way of covering the cost. It's not extremely expensive, but there is a cost involved in this testing.
Well, it's also preventative, because if they catch somebody in the dental chair who is diabetic or pre-diabetic, then that may be a person that they're not going to be paying for a brain aneurysm and the care of that person for the next 15 years as a result of. So I see this as being very, very important preventative step, in my humble opinion.
I certainly agree with that. So, you know, we hope that this is the beginning of something that will catch on and that all of the issues that we've begun to raise together ultimately get resolved so that people can truly benefit from this approach.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. I applaud what you're doing, and I predict we're going to see this being used hopefully in the next 5 or 6 years, and a lot of lives will be saved. Thank you so much, Dr. Strauss.
Thank you so much for your interest, and thank your listeners for all that that they will do in terms of thinking about
raising
this.
The consciousness of it. Very good. Thank you. Take care. All right, so we're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be back with Don Stinkholm, and we're going to be talking about the ancient grain, spelt. So everybody's off grain today, but is there a grain out there that's actually good for us and will not harm us? We're going to find out in a minute. Stay tuned.
You've already heard the hundreds of testimonials about how well the AgeForce Fat Burner Patch works. Now it's even better. AgeForce has added the powerful appetite suppressor, Hoodia. So now, while your body's in high gear burning fat, you'll have an easier time sticking to your diet. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today to get a buy one, get one free for a limited time. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana a banner ad today.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
See, that was Ashley. She caught my eye the very second.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, Everywhere you turn, grain has been demonized, and probably for some good reasons. But there are so many varieties of grain out there. Could they all be bad for us? Maybe, maybe not. My next guest is Don Stinchcomb. How you doing, Don?
Very well, thank you.
And so I learned about you from my good friend, Dr. William Seeds, who is a amazingly strong individual, a brilliant orthopedic surgeon, and a close personal friend of mine. And he's been telling me, Carl, you've got to research spelt. It's not like other grains. And, you know, I'm one of those skeptics, Don. I'm like, oh, come on. Grain is not good for us. Haven't you gotten the memo? But then you and I had a conversation. I thought, wait a minute. This is a very, very, very intricate story, and maybe I'm wrong. So let's start with this. What is spelt, Don?
Spelt is part of the Triticum genus, which is 19 different species in the wheat family. And spelt is one of three of the oldest. So when people talk about ancient grain, this is one of them. This is 8,500 years old and then some. And the mother of all wheat is called einkorn, which is 14 chromosomes. It mated with, that was a triticum, and it mated with an Aegilops genus product and made emmer. And that became 28 chromosomes. And then about 1,000 years later, these are natural occurring crosses across genuses, which is unusual. It's unusual to have natural occurring crosses with species, but these are across genuses. And emmer did the same thing, and once again, it crossed with another Aegilops grass family of grains and created spelt. And it's Triticum spelta. Einkorn is Triticum monococcum, and emmer is Triticum dicoccum.
Okay, now before we go on, I want to make sure that everybody's clear on this. This is not genetic modification, and this is not even hybridization, because both of those are forced in the lab. This was a natural evolutionary process where these different types of grains kind of hybridized on their own out there in the environment, right?
Right. They're self-pollinating. It's unusual that something like this happens. Obviously, it's unusual for a species to do this with a self-pollinating grain, but these were actually genus crosses, and they happened on their own. There was a number, like, thousands of years, multiple thousands of years between the einkorn and the emmer. But then the emmer was only about 1,000 years different than the evolution of spelt.
Okay, so now what is the common, what we eat today, or what people eat today, not necessarily anyone in this audience, that is considered the source of wheat today that they use for bread and pasta and all that sort of stuff? We hear that this is a type of wheat that has been modified and changed. And you and I talked about this, and then you told me there's how many different types of this? 46,000? Is that what you said?
Right. Yeah, there's 6,000 varieties that were created by Norman Borlaug between 1948 and the early 1960s. And then after that, there's estimated to be upwards of 25,000-30,000. I've seen numbers over 40,000 varieties from 1948 all the way through to the year 2000. However, Dr. Fasano, who is the resident expert on celiac disease in the United States, at least he's pretty much recognized as the expert, just wrote a book called Gluten Freedom. And in there, he says there's over 25,000 varieties. So if we just go with his number, 25,000, that's still a lot of varieties of wheat.
Why all those? Now, were these varieties, these all started at the turn of the century. What was it that we started to fool around with wheat to try to change it? Was that to be more profitable, to be more robust and grow better? It wasn't to make it healthier, right? I mean, healthier
no,
to consume.
I think that was the furthest thing from anybody's mind.
Right.
Is to make it healthier. The Borlaug, it was going on prior to this. There was a wheat variety that came out around the 1920s that actually was a farmer-bred hybrid variety. And it's like one of the best varieties out there in terms of yield and protein and all of that. But Borlaug started in 1948. He was commissioned by the Rockefeller Foundation, and their goal was they recognized that within a number of years, a few decades, there would be 7.5 billion people on the face of the planet. And so what they wanted to do was they wanted to come up with a grain that's going to be able to feed them all. And they felt that, wheat was, it's one of the top three grains in the world. And so why not start with wheat? And that's what they did. And that's what Borlaug did. But when he did it, it kind of made sense. It was like, how do farmers lose grain? And one of the ways that they lose it is right before harvest. They get thunderstorms that come through, heavy winds, blows the grain down. They can't get it back up. It starts to sprout, and they lose the grain. So what he did was he came up with semi-dwarf varieties, and now you see fields of wheat that are no longer 5 feet tall but like 2.5 feet tall,
uh-huh.
And that's so to resist the wind laying the grain down.
So the whole amber waves of grain phenomenon went away with the dwarf grain then, because it wasn't that tall, willowy grain any longer, right? It was
yeah,
a short, stumpy grain.
Except for spelt.
We're going to get into spelt. I want to differentiate it by first addressing what's going on with grain since the turn of the century. Since the turn of the century, there have been pockets of people who have talked about grain because there were pockets of people in the population that were having adverse events consuming what was the main a commodity crop of grain, going back to Bernard McFadden, when he published Physical Culture magazine in the early 20s. They were talking about avoiding grain. So something happened between the 1800s and 1900s in this effort to produce a grain that was more favorable to farmers and crop yields that made it less favorable to the human gut.
Carl, a number of things happened. One of the things is how they processed the grain. Prior to that time, they didn't have rolling mills and that type of thing. They may have had wheels, stone ground product where they could sift some of the bran off, but it still had plenty of bran in it. But then in the late 1800s, they came up with roller mills, which basically took the bran out of the grain, and what you have is just the endosperm, which is, gives you the white bread. So that wasn't a healthy development. Okay, so that was one thing. But the other issues are, what you're directing it to is, there was a noticeable change in the way that people saw grain as being healthy. And I can't say, the late 1800s or what have you, but if I could bring it up into modern day, and I think that would kind of point to the direction that you're going in.
Please do.
And Dr. Joseph Murray from the Mayo Clinic did a research paper on there was a Air Force base in the Minneapolis area called the Warren Air Force Base, and they folded up after World War II. They had preserved all the blood serum samples from the airmen that had come through that base. I guess there was like 12,000. Don't hold me to that number, but it was, in the tens of thousands.
All right.
And they had these intact blood serum samples, and Murray took a similar amount of blood serum samples from the population in the Minneapolis area. And then he did a comparison. He ran the tests on them, and that what he found was in that period of time, which was about 40, 50 years, there was a fourfold increase in celiac disease from those airmen that were tested that actually had their blood drawn in the 40s and those people that had their blood drawn around the year 2000. And it's impossible, as you well know, humanity doesn't change that quickly. The process of evolution takes a while.
Yeah,
and you're
right.
Not going to have, you're not going to have that kind of an increase.
Well, look at that. Look at the thousands of years it took for these self-hybridized grains to occur, and now you're going to tell me in as little as 10, 20 years something happened? No, it's impossible.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah, those self-hybridized grains, okay?
Right.
But what happened from 1948 to the year 2000? Isn't it kind of strange that same scenario where you've got 25,000 different varieties
right.
of wheat that were created,
right.
at least? I mean, that made a significant change in what happened. And, you know, I know that Murray had mentioned that in his paper, that it had to be something with either the way we process the grain or the grain itself, or possibly this is where some of these other scenarios came up, where, you know, there was an increase in births that were not natural births, but, you know, they were cesarean, and so the biogenome was affected because going through the birth canal, you pick up the mother's...
Microbiome, sure. Yeah.
yeah.
The
effect that we're too clean a civilization now, we're using all kinds of...
And I am
cleansers and so forth.
I am a child of cesarean section. I have been plagued with allergies my whole life. I was allergic to milk when I was a kid. If I ate nuts, I would break out in literally in black and blues. And now we know that journey through the mother's vaginal canal is the first introduction of microbes, and breastfeeding is what really primes the seeding of microbiomes. I was given formula. This was when formula was better than breast milk. My mother gave me formula. So we, of that generation, you're right. We, it may not be the wheat. It may have been us.
Right. There's a number of possibilities that could have made that change. However, I find it unusual, coming from my angle, that it just coincided exactly with that time period from Norman Borlaug to the year 2000.
Yeah. Is
it really that coincidental?
No.
I have a tough time buying that.
Well, we're going to talk about some of those theories here, and then we're going to talk about the difference in spelt. You know, sometimes not being the most popular gives you an opportunity to hide, let's say, while other things are taking place. Spelt may have been very, very well hidden, and now it may have saved itself for us now. We're going to be talking more with Don when we come back. In the meantime, his website is naturelegacyforlife.com if you want to learn more about spelt, and we're going to be talking about it when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
Freakish muscle gains, Freak Maker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Frotalin, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkaline and medium chain triglycerides, a 2-to-1 carb to protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freak Maker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of prealkaline pH buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD and neither should you.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Do you have a federal student loan? Did you know that the federal government has allotted millions of dollars to reduce or forgive your student loan debt? Are you getting your share of these federal forgiveness program dollars? If you answer no, then you need to call 866-539-2755 right now. FedAidAdvisors.com will qualify you right over the phone for free. One free phone call and FedAidAdvisors.com guarantees to reduce your payments, eliminate interest for the first 3 years, and even wipe your loan debt clean for those who qualify. The call is free to find out if you qualify. Call 866-539-2755 right now. That's 866-539-2755.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support, to weight management, to nervous system support, to detox and cleansing, and more. Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking to Don Stinchcomb. We're talking about spelt. Over 5,000 years, and it hasn't changed, luckily, because they were too busy screwing up the other grain. Nature'sLegacyForLife.com is the website. So talk about the processing. This is something you told me about the other day. You said, well, you know, they didn't have grain elevators back then and this and that. Talk about the processing. How does that potentially affect grain and some of the issues we see today? We obviously understand that grain has been, let's say, selfishly hybridized to produce a grain that is better for farmers, not for health. But what about the processing?
Okay. The difference is from the very get-go. And that's the reason why the emmer, the einkorn, and the spelt, all those three-hulled grains, basically are kind of hidden in obscurity, like you said before the break. They have a hull on them. And with spelt, there are two kernels buried in each hull. And that hull has to be mechanically removed. You don't take it off in the combine like you do with free-threshing wheat. Free-threshing wheat, basically, you know, it goes out the back of the combine, and what you got left is the wheat. So what does that mean? That means that a bushel of spelt, which is a volumetric measure, weighs 32 pounds, and a bushel of wheat weighs 60 pounds. So right away, you know what the transportation costs are going to be higher.
Right.
The storage costs are going to be higher. And now you've got another process the product has to go through before it's ready to be ground into flour.
Okay. All right, so now let's talk about spelt itself now. So spelt has been relatively unchanged for about 5,000 years, correct?
No, 8,500.
8,500, okay, I stand corrected. And so why is it that some people who actually have been diagnosed with gluten sensitivities can eat spelt and not experience the problems, and spelt does have some form of gluten in it?
Yes, it does. And, you know, gluten sensitivities can be called a number of different things. There's celiac disease. 0.7% of the population is earmarked to have celiac disease. Then there's other gluten sensitivities where I think what they do in that process is they take all of the proteins together, and because gluten really doesn't exist when it's in the grain, it exists when you add water to the flour, and then the gliadin and gluten and proteins come together and bind together, and that's where you get the gluten. Albumin and other proteins are also caught in that. So you've got that's kind of a catch-all then for the proteins, including gluten and gliadin, albumin, et cetera. So the gluten itself in spelt, though, is different than the gluten in wheat. And the best way that I can illustrate that is there's a lady that I know in Michigan that does seitan. And so she decided she wanted to try spelt seitan.
What is seitan for those of us who don't?
Seitan is S-E-I-T-A-N. And what that is, it's the mechanical process of washing the starch out of the flour. You make a dough, and then you actually wash the starch out of it. So what you have left is pure protein. And they, you know, they make, faux meats with that. You know, lamb chops, chicken.
Right.
They, flavor it with different flavorings so that, you know, actually a vegetarian could be eating this in a stir fry or what have you. And, it's going to have much the same texture as muscle tissue in an animal. And, you know, flavored properly, it's going to have a flavor that's close to what it is that, you know, you're trying to mimic. Anyway, she tried to do it with spelt. And she tried to do it exactly the same way she did wheat. What she does with wheat is she makes the dough, she throws it in a hot water bath, and lets it rest. And then after, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, then she starts washing the starch out of the dough. And it's just a matter of, if you try to do it yourself, you'll see a milky white water start to appear, and that's the starch. Well, she threw it in a hot water bath, and then she proceeded to do something else, and then came back, and she was surprised to see that it was actually pretty much on the surface of the water, and it was virtually just spread out across the surface. She was losing it. So she gathered it all back together again and tried to get something out of it, but the amount was negligible. So then she started experimenting, and what she found was that she could do a spelt seitan, but she had to do it in ice-cold water, and she couldn't let it rest. And what she did in between with the wheat was, you know, as it got tougher, as the wheat gluten got tougher, then what she would do is she'd drain down the water, and she'd put in more hot water and let the gluten rest, and then continue to wash it off. She'd do that maybe three times. With spelt, she couldn't do it. She couldn't stop. She just had to keep going. And that's how she would get spelt seitan. So what happens with wheat gluten, it gets tougher as you mix it. That's one of the things that American cereal chemists have criticized spelt for, because a lot of bread factories in the United States are straight doughs. Flour goes in one end, 3 hours later, bread comes out the other end, and there's very little fermentation or proofing that goes on. There's some, but not very much. And it's basically based on the strength of the dough. And they'll throw in, you know, bakeries, large bakeries by truckloads of vital wheat gluten, because they have a bunch of people baking, and they don't want them standing around because they have a failure on the line because you're not getting the uniform loaf volume that you need in order to be able to slice down that bread and put it in a package that Mrs. Consumers used to sing. So with spelt, The American Cereal Camp folks always criticized it because they said the gluten in it wasn't very strong. And, you know, the way I see it is, are you trying to make bread or are you trying to build a tank? Because really, it's strong enough, as long as you don't overmix it, to build a great loaf of bread. But the real test comes when you eat it. And if you can digest it without it creating problems for you, inflammatory problems in your gut, reactions similar to IBS or celiac, what have you, then you've got something that you really want. And, I mean, I'd much rather have something that's a little bit slower process, maybe a little bit longer proof time, and something that conveys a good flavor at the same time in a great loaf of bread. One such loaf of bread, strangely enough, is done by Zingerman's. It's called Dinkelbrot. In Germany, spelt is known as Dinkel. And, you know, it's a nice whole-grain loaf of bread that when you eat it, you don't, you know, you're not looking for another slice. You know, you eat that slice of bread, and then you can understand why the Europeans can eat for dinner, you know, a little slice of bread, some fruit, some cheese, and they're done. You know, with us, we have to eat a half loaf of white bread in order to be able to feel like we're even close to being.
So the reality is that the thing that makes spelt unpopular for the commercial cereal grain users is actually its saving grace for those who are looking to consume a healthy grain.
Absolutely, because it's kept it separate from the regular wheat out there.
The commodity grains. It's kept it separate from the commodity grains because it's not cooperative,
right.
And that makes it less efficient to produce high volumes of bread. We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about gliadin for a second. Okay?
Okay.
All right, yep. We're talking with Don Stinchcomb. The website is Nature's Legacy for Life if you want to learn more about spelt. Everybody's out there trying to find alternatives to using grain to make bread and pizza dough and stuff, and they're using coconut flour and almond flour. Well, spelt may be the answer. It may perform just like you want it to and not make you sick. It's worth a try. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's S-H-R and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman and radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
You have a federal student loan? Did you know that the federal government has allotted millions of dollars to reduce or forgive your student loan debt? Are you getting your share of these federal forgiveness program dollars? If you answer no, then you need to call 866-539-2755 right now. FedAidAdvisors.com will qualify you right over the phone for free. One free phone call and FedAidAdvisors.com guarantees to reduce your payments, eliminate interest for the first 3 years, and even wipe your loan debt clean for those who qualify. The call is free to find out if you qualify. Call 866-539-2755 right now. That's 866-539-2755.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Don Stinchcomb. We're talking about spelt, a forgotten grain, a truly ancient grain, over 8,500 years. It has not changed because it's not favored by the commodity grain, cereal grain producers. And hence, it does not have the qualities that make it ideal for mass production of crap food. It's difficult to work with, I guess, in the context of mass production. And so it's been ignored, and luckily for us, because if you hear these stories that I've heard that grain has changed, Dr. Bill Davis, who wrote the book Wheat Belly, talks about gliadin, that wheat today has been hybridized and forced into categories of high gliadin producing wheat for some reason. I don't know what gliadin does for the production of products or for the cereal grain industry, but high gliadin wheat is what he attempts to expose in his book Wheat Belly as being the cause of the negative effects to the human condition provided by eating too much wheat-based products. So tell me about gliadin, first of all, Don, and then where does spelt fall into the category of high gliadin containing grains?
Okay, gliadin is a protein. As I said, there in the grain kernel itself, there really truly isn't gluten. But when you add water to the flours, once that kernel is ground, the glutenin and the gliadin come together to form gluten. And it's a storage protein, and it's believed to be the most toxic protein. There's a 33-peptide chain of amino acids that apparently lights up the T3 receptor cells for celiacs that causes an autoimmune response. Gliadin is basically alcohol-soluble. and I don't know where you get the alcohol in our bodies. Maybe that
If you're the average American,
up at the bar, I don't know.
If you're the average American, you're drinking it along with your pizza.
Right. But the strange thing about the gliadin, okay, is that when we talked about 25,000 different varieties, and we talked about the farmer wanting to grow more grain per acre on his field. And so the seed companies and the wheat breeders pander to that desire, and they create varieties that are going to give them more volume in their field so that they, instead of getting 4,000 pounds per acre, they now get 4,020 pounds per acre. And so there are, I just had one of the gals in the office do a look-see at 2013 at four Big Ten schools, there was over 750 wheat trials that went on in those four schools over 2013. Of those, 250 were separate varieties. So what they try to do, and one of the things that they really emphasize, oh, they'll say, what's the height of the grain or you know, whatever, but they will always give you bushel content, how many bushels per acre.
Right.
And that's what they look for. So that's what drives the whole system. Now, when a wheat breeder thinks he's got a product that is really going to be desirable, he decides he wants to patent it. It's called PVP, Plant Variety Protection. So he goes to the USDA, submits like a 12-page questionnaire, and identifies what this grain is like during different stages of growth. That way, when you've got it out commercially with seed growers, they can rogue the fields, go through the fields at fourth week, and the stuff that doesn't look like the way it should, they yank it out. So that what they have is a pure variety once it's harvested. Well, the other way that they identify this variety is they take a sample of the kernel and they run electrophoresis on it. Well, guess which protein that they're running the electrophoresis on?
Gliadin. Yeah.
That's the one. They pull it out with alcohol, they run the electrophoresis, and if it resembles another variety, they won't give you the status. They won't give you plant variety protection. So if there's 25,000 different varieties out there, I know there's at least 2,700 plus varieties that are active right now with plant variety protection. They all have a different gliadin.
That's amazing. So talk about spelt and the gliadin content. How does spelt differ from these other varieties when if gliadin is in fact one of the culprits that is causing problems for people? And I say if it is, in fact. That's what Dr. Bill Davis's book is all about.
Well, I think it's recognized by all the celiac researchers as well. I think it's pretty much common knowledge. They believe it's the most toxic molecule. It's a prolamine storage protein that is what they've focused in on. What is the difference between spelt gliadin? I really don't know what the difference is in terms of the protein alignment, the amino acid alignment. I just know that when, if you just take the example that if you overmix spelt, okay, when you're making a bread, you're going to wind up baking a brick because you've taken away the functionality of the spread. In other words, the elasticity in the dough is gone. So it's already starting to break down. So when you eat bread then, and it goes into your stomach, what's happening? What's happening is you've got hydrochloric acid that's there to denature the protein. It takes those strings of amino acids that actually have a shape, and they actually denature it. They loosen up that shape. And then what's supposed to happen, then the pepsin that's in the form of pepsinogen in your stomach lining then is released because it's activated by the hydrochloric acid. And then that pepsin works in an acidic environment to break down some of that protein. I believe that's where the problem is with wheat versus spelt, because spelt breaks down readily. heat, water, and mixing will break down and denature spelt. Whereas with wheat protein, you know, you can mix that till the cows come home. It just gets tougher and tougher and tougher. And that is primarily where I think that the major difference is. Also, spelt, there is something called FODMAPs that's out there. The celiac researchers refer to it as non-gluten celiac, no, non-celiac gluten sensitivity. That's what it is, non-celiac gluten sensitivity. And what FODMAP stands for is fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, and monosaccharides and polyols. Well, monosaccharides are simple sugars, you know, the simplest you can get. Disaccharides are two molecules. Oligosaccharides are more than two, but not a polysaccharide, which is like 100. So it, those are the simple sugars. Spelt is the only gluten-containing grain that is recommended for the FODMAPs diet.
Interesting.
So that is the diet where people who have irritable bowel syndrome,
mm-hmm.
that's what they should be looking at. And you can find that on the Internet. Monash University discovered it back in the late 90s. 80s, basically Australia was the only country that was really spending a lot of effort trying to figure out what celiac disease was all about. And Monash University, their folks managed to discover what these fermentable sugars do to folks that it mimics celiac disease, the symptoms of celiac disease, except for the breakdown of the villi and the intestinal tract.
We're going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, we're going to tell people what they can find at naturesLegacyForLife.com, how they can buy spelt, what they can do with it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic raw EVOO for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now. You've already heard the hundreds of testimonials about how well the Age Force Fat Burner Patch works. Now it's even better. Age Force has added the powerful appetite suppressor, Hoodia. So now, while your body's in high gear burning fat, you'll have an easier time sticking to your diet. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today to get a buy one, get one free for a limited time. What do you have to lose other than body fat?
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. Okay, so tell my audience what they need to know about ordering Spelt at naturesLegacyForLife.com.
All right, Carl. We do it all. We contract with growers. They deliver at harvest. We store the grain here in aerated floor bins, have a large grain elevator. Got the truck scales out front and the pits and all of that stuff. So, we store the product and then dehull it and clean it, as we need to. We also have a whole grain flour mill and a white flour mill. We have both organic as well as non-organic grain. And, when we bring the grain in, we test it so that we, can identify, number one, that it's meeting contracted specs. And then number two, the quality of the grain, and we bin it based on quality. And we can blend that grain so that we have a consistent baking quality grain throughout the year, as opposed to one farm's got really great quality stuff and the next farm doesn't. You go through it, and you know now you're into some stuff that isn't working as well as you want it to. So we can do blending so you've got consistency throughout. What we do have is we sell the kernels, we sell whole flour, we sell white flour, we sell organic and non-organic kernels and flour. We have two varieties of pretzels, a sourdough as well as a mini, and we have, I think it's like 23 varieties of pasta. Six are egg noodles made with just the whites and not... not the whole egg, and then we have about eight varieties of whole grain pasta and about seven varieties of white pasta. The pasta is amazing in that it cooks in approximately 5 minutes. There's no messy cleanup. It's got a great flavor, and even the whole grain product, which is 100% whole grain, has a great mild flavor and a smooth mouthfeel because of the way we mill the grain. So, in a nutshell, that's what is available here and available in many natural product stores as well as better supermarkets across the United States.
Sprouted grains have long been heralded as a better alternative for producing breads and stuff. Do you do any sprouted spelt?
No, we're looking at doing sprouted. One of my good friends is... He had been with Roman Meal and recently retired, but had been with the USDA, and he does keynote speeches at sprouting conventions. So we have looked at sprouting. We're looking at incorporating that with a malting facility, and so that we could do wet process sprouting and malting. And Spelt is actually the first beer that was actually created that we know of today with hops. Hildegard of Bingen was around 1059. She created a beer because she was a nun who was feeding the ill and dying and trying to make them well again.
And that's a depressing job, so she had to get drunk once in a while.
So she had to, right. Right. It was actually used as an elixir. It was actually used as an elixir. And we've actually done some sprout. As a matter of fact, Griffin Claw Brewing in Birmingham, Michigan, just won a gold medal for spelt-based vodka. They just had the competition about 2 weeks ago, I believe, in Austin, Texas.
So why a conventionally grown spelt and an organic? Why not all organic? Do they? So you know, the big thing right now is glyphosate damaging the microbiome. Right. Blah 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 blah. Now the 2,4-D to create Duo, and why even have a conventionally grown?
That's pricing. Where we grow a lot of our conventionally grown product, the guys there just love it. It's in the southwest United States. The yield is about 1.5 times that of anywhere else in the United States. The grain gets 6 feet tall. It's just beautiful stuff. And it's almost like growing it in a laboratory because of the weather and the lack of rainfall during certain times of the year. So it makes for a real quality product.
Okay, now the Environmental Working Group likes to have the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen. They like to talk about heavily sprayed crops versus crops that really just innately don't need a lot of pesticides and herbicides. They seem to have their own defense mechanisms in place.
Right.
Is spelt a heavily sprayed crop
conventional?
No, and
it doesn't need to be. And that's the other thing that I failed to mention in the last segment. We talked about FODMAPs, but another thing that was mentioned also at the last celiac convention in Chicago was enzyme inhibitors. And the reason why a plant has enzyme inhibitors is actually for that very reason, is to stop pest activity from damaging the crop. In other words, it'll have amylase inhibitors, which is an enzyme that breaks down carbohydrates, or trypsin inhibitors, which is a protease enzyme. It breaks down proteins. And wheat has those. So insect will land on that kernel, and it'll drill down through and just insert its digestive juices and then suck out the nutrients from that kernel. Well, the crop, the plant actually senses that. It's called wounding, and it actually creates more of these enzyme inhibitors. With spelt, it doesn't need these enzyme inhibitors. It has the hull. So the insect isn't going to get anything anyway.
Well, and then, wait a minute. So those enzyme inhibitors, people are eating those enzyme inhibitors when they eat the commodity grain.
Absolutely.
So right there, you've got problems with digestive issues.
Right. They can't digest it because, you know, it's with enzymes that they break down food as well.
Holy, this is not even being discussed. We're looking at, you know, all these other things, gluten. What about the fact that it's not digestible by nature?
That, you know, that in my mind, still has to be proven. There is, I'm having a study done right now by an independent laboratory because, I think people are kind of led astray when they look at the side of a box and they go, oh, protein, 10 grams of protein and carbohydrates, blah, blah, blah. But is that protein truly bioavailable to them?
Right. Fingernails are protein. Hair is protein. What if I put a box of hair and said 100% protein? Who's going to eat it, right?
Believe it or not, that is cysteine, and you got to watch where your cysteine comes from.
Yeah, okay.
I think they might be able to get it off the barbershop floor. I don't really know, but I mean, I would be cautious about that. But the actual use of these kinds of things in terms of the enzyme inhibitors and that kind of thing, it really is going to wreak havoc with our own system as well. And by increasing these enzyme inhibitors, you're going to have problems. So spelt is one of those grains, because it is so well protected, that it doesn't need to be sprayed with herbicides or pesticides.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, interesting.
Yeah.
This is a great discussion. I'm interested in trying spelt because I've given up all grains, and I miss certain things like crackers, and I do miss the occasional pasta. And so I will be going to naturesLegacyForLife.com to try spelt. My good friend, Dr. Bill Seeds, believes in this wholeheartedly, and he is a superhuman. He follows all the same edicts that we talk about on the show. And so I this has been an enlightening discussion. Don, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. And if you have any questions that I haven't answered, please feel free to direct them to me.
And where would people direct them to you?
We have a Facebook page and also that Nature's Legacy for Life, where they can call 1-800-99-SPELT.
99-SPELT. There you go. Don, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, Carl.
All right, so there you have it. Also want to thank Dr. Jeff Galini during the first half hour for Science for Humans. We talked about carbohydrates. If you want to try a few free samples of Carbolin, send me an email to onair@superhumanradio.com. Put the word Carbolin, K-A-R-B-O-L-Y-N, in the subject line, and make sure you include your mailing address. Dr. Galini will mail you a few samples of Carbolin so you can try it as a pre, post, and intra-workout supplement, a carbohydrate supplement. And he's even going to shoot you these samples if you are calling, sending the email from international locations. So if you're outside the United States, please send that email in. Also, I want to thank Dr. Sheila Strauss for coming on and talking about this new opportunity to screen people for type 2 diabetes while they're in the dental chair. I hope they get that on. We need that. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Health and performance.